Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobiah, and Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go to the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man, whose name is the branch. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them. The man whose name is the branch. The branch. Let me give you the historical setting here. The Jews under Cyrus had came back, some of them came back to rebuild Jerusalem and build the temple. And Zerubbabel was sent to do it. He was the governor, and Joshua was the high priest. And they were rebuilding the temple, and there were three Jews who came from the captivity, came from Babylon, from the captivity. And their names there in verse 10, Heldaiah, Tobijah, and Jediah. And they came to make an offering for the building of the temple. And they brought some silver and they brought some gold. Well, the Lord told Zechariah to go the very same day that those men came with that silver and gold, take their silver and gold and make crowns, make a silver crown and a gold crown. And go get Joshua, the high priest, put those crowns on him. Put those crowns on him. They're his crowns. And tell him that behold the man whose name is the branch. Name is the branch. And of course, Joshua, his name is Jesus, Jehovah our Savior. That's what it means. And this was done not as an honor upon Joshua, but was a type, a picture, typical, prophetic symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ who is to come.
Amen.
I read there in Isaiah 11 where he was the branch, there should be a rod that shall grow up out of the stem of Jesse, and thou shalt call him the branch. And the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. And so you see, this was the one who was to come, who was to wear many crowns, not just silver and gold. Silver in the Scriptures always speaks of redemption. Gold speaks of deity, power, value, worth. And he was the one who was to come, and that's why it says, behold the man. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would come as the man. And what he would do, the branch. And not only here, but over in Zechariah 3, he's called the branch over here. Let me show you this before I get into my message. He was the root of David, of course. And here in verse 8 of Zechariah chapter 3, it says this, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. The branch. Now this branch, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. He said, behold the man, the servant, my servant, the branch. Out of the branch, out of the rod, the stem of Jesse. This is one of our Lord's names. He has many names. This is one of his names. And I've been trying to say a few things about his names. And here he's called the branch. The branch. And over in Jeremiah he's called the branch, the righteous planting of the Lord. Let me say a few things about a branch that is obvious to us. First of all, a branch bears the fruit, reveals the character of the tree. Now you know that's what our Lord said. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And a branch bears the fruit and reveals the character of the tree. And our Lord Jesus Christ as Jehovah's branch, as behold the man, the Lord's branch, he revealed the character of his Father, Almighty God. When our Lord came into this world, he was God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. And without controversy, it's great. For God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. But as a branch, He came to reveal the character of God Almighty, His Father. And He done it in so many ways. First of all, He done it by His words. His words, He says, the words that I speak, they're not mine, but of Him that sent me. And not that He did not have words of His own, but yet He says, the words that I speak, my Father gave them to me to speak. I obey Him. He put His word in my mouth, and I speak what He says for me to speak. And I and my Father are one. Now you keep Zechariah and look over here with me in John chapter 7 just a moment. You know, by His words He glorified the Father. By His words He bore the fruit of the Father and revealed the character of the Father. And you know, our Lord Jesus, and people did not believe His word then, and they won't believe it now, but that doesn't make it any less than the words of the Father. That doesn't make it any less. He says, you know, He told the Jews, He said, before Abraham was, I am. When they heard that, they said, this man's blaspheming. Why? You going to stone me? He said, they pick up stone. Why are you going to stone me? For what good work are you going to stone me? We're not going to stone you for good works. We're going to stone you because you, being a man, makest yourself to be one with God. Makest yourself to be God. And we cannot have a man who claims to be God. I don't care how many miracles you perform, how many good works you do, we cannot have a man in our midst that's poor from Nazareth, from Galilee, from poverty with no education, that's nobody from nowhere, and all of us, we got our power, we got our prestige, we got our offices, we got our authority. To have you to claim to be one with God, to be God, we can't have that. So they picked up rocks to stone Him. But look what our Savior said here in John 7:14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Talking about our Lord revealing the character of Jehovah by His words. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. What's this now? But His has sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Christ our Lord did not come to make a new religion, to set up a new religion. He come, beloved, just to continue the true religion that started in the Garden of Eden. He came to be the one that God set up as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was plenty of religions. And there are still plenty of religions. Christ didn't come to set up with Christianity as a new religion. There's only been one salvation, one true gospel, one Savior. And that's what He says. If a man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now watch what He says here in verse 18. He that speaketh of himself brings up his own doctrine, teaches his own truths, and comes out of himself. He seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And there's no unrighteousness in him. Look with me in John 8:13. Our Lord Jehovah's branch, He revealed the character of His Father. And He had the fruit of God all in His life. All the power, all the glory. He says in verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto Him, you bear record of yourself. Thy record is not true. Our Lord answered, said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know where I come, from whence I came, and I know where I'm going. But you can't tell whence I come, and you can't tell whether I... You don't know that I came from above, and you don't know that I'm going back above. And you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone. Watch this. I and the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is your Father? Our Lord answers, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Oh, he came to reveal God, to show the character of God by his words. Not only by his words, but also by his deeds. By what he did, by the works that he did. You know, Nicodemus says to him, says, you know that, he said, Master, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Huh? And oh, beloved, you think of all the deeds that our Master did while he's in this world. John said it this way. He said, I suppose that if everything that he had done, everything that he had said, and all the miracles he'd done, all the works he'd done, if they all had been written down, I suppose the books of the world could not contain them. And see, when he opened the mind of the man that was born blind in John chapter 9, they began to call him a sinner. Said, this man, we don't know where he come from. And that fellow whose eyes was open, he looked at him and he says, you know, it's never been told, never been heard, never been seen since the beginning of the world that a man that's born blind received his sight. Never. Never. And as our Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father raised the dead, quickened the dead, even so the Son of Man quickens, gives life to whom he will. And oh, how many times did he gave life to three individuals, raised them from the dead. And then all the life that he gives us when he raised us from the dead. And all the life that there is, he gave us. And well, by his deeds, and he opened the sight of the blind. And it says there a minute ago, I read to you in Isaiah 11, the lion shall lie down with the lamb. And all of us with our ferociousness and our enmity and our meanness and our awful characters, now we lie down with the Lamb of God himself. We rest with the Lamb. We grass like an ox now. We're not the meaty. We're not ferocious. We take the food, the bread that God gives us, the bread from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the fruit of this branch, which comes from the Father, is love, grace, truth, compassion, holiness, pity, mercy, truth, life, righteousness, power over creation, power over life, power to touch lepers and cleanse them and not be affected. If I touch a leper, I'm unclean according to the law. Our Lord Jesus could touch a leper and the leper would be clean and he wouldn't be unclean according to the law. Oh, what fruit come from this. And Philip said, if you'll show us the Father, if you'll just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. We won't ask no more questions. We won't bother you anymore. He says, Philip, have I been with you such a long time and you've not seen me, neither known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So as the branch, our Lord Jesus Christ, reveal the character and the fruit of God Almighty Himself. And then look back over here to Zechariah 6. The branch as a person. He says, behold the man. Behold the man. Watch what it says here now. Behold the man whose name is the branch. That's one of the names of our Savior. And it says here that he shall grow up out of his place. He shall grow up.
Yes, sir.
Grow up. The Scripture says he grew in wisdom and stature with man and God.
Yeah.
And he shall grow up out of his place. What was his place? What was his place when he came into this world? What was his place? First of all, his place was born to poor parents that had nothing. Had nothing. He was born in a stable. Born and laid in a manger where they feed cattle. Born lowly. Born in the lowest position. Born of the lowest parents. Born one in the place where he was born is one of humility. One of sorrow. One of grief. One of rejection. And everything that he shall grow up in this kind of atmosphere. This grow up in humiliation. Grow up treated as one who is to be humiliated. Grow up in sorrow. Grow up there in Galilee. And they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth where he was born? And yet he was raised in Galilee. And all this won out of humility and sorrow and rejection. And he grew up. He grew up. He had to suck his mother's breast. He had to be taken care of as an infant. Then he had to be taken care of as a toddler. And here's God doing this. And he began to grow up. And he had to learn. And he learned to read. He learned to write. God, who wrote on the wall in the temple there, and where they were having that feast that Belshazzar was, and he took his finger and wrote on the wall, wrote the Ten Commandments on tables of wood. That same finger had to be took by his mother's hand and held and let alone. He shall grow up. And he grew up until he became a man. And 30 years old, when he grew up, he entered into a ministry. And he entered into a ministry where he was despised and rejected, and he was acquainted with grief and sorrow. And he grew up till he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he laid there and wept and cried till his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And he grew up to do one thing, go to the cross. And on that cross, to be a substitute for sinners, to take his place there with the sin of his people upon him. He shall be Jehovah's branch. And beloved, there he grew up. And as he hung on that cross, as he grew up to go to die, he grew up to die as the Lamb of God, as the sin offering, as the sacrifice, as a substitute. And all the sins of God's elect were laid on him. All the sins of God's people were charged to his account. And when they were laid on him and charged him, he grew up to do that, to face that, to deal with that. And when they were found on him, Jehovah himself came down, turned out the light, and a great transaction was made. The blood was taken and offered to God Almighty, and God smelled it as a sweet smell and savor. Sin was put away once and for all by the sacrifice of Christ. Yeah. They put him in the tomb, laid him in the tomb, and then he grew up, also to come again from the grave. He grew up to come out of that grave, to come again from the dead. And oh, beloved, look what else he'll do. He grew up. There's too much here to deal with at one time, but I'm going to try to do it. Then look what he says here. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. Ain't you grateful that he builds the temple of the Lord? He called his body the temple of the Lord one time. They said they took him and showed him the temple that they were building here. And they were looking. He looked at the temple and said, oh, look at all this great temple. Look what a beautiful place. He says, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. And said, tear it out, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days, speaking of his own body. But beloved, the temple he's talking about here is his church, his people.
Amen.
He shall build the temple of the Lord. Now, God gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle. I mean, gave him down to the jot and the tittle how to build that tabernacle. And then Solomon build a temple. And that temple was, both of those are typical of our Lord Jesus Christ in every way. In every way. Solomon built that great temple. And everything that was added to that temple of Solomon's, you know, there was never a hammer in that building. There was never a stone cut in that building. Everything was done outside that building and fitted and fixed and brought to the building. And there was not a hammer heard. It was all prepared over here and brought. And our Lord Jesus Christ prepared us, built us, made us, hewed out the stones, cut out the trees, done all it was. And he puts us in the temple of God. He builds us in the temple of God. Now you mark Zechariah and look with me over in Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1. Let me tell you something about this temple. You know, the temple was the place where God put his name. That's where he put his name. And that's where the place He revealed Himself. You know, under the law and in the temple, if God, if you saw God and He revealed His Shekinah glory, He done it in the temple. He revealed Himself in the temple and in the tabernacle. And it was the place of worship. They went there to worship. And it was the place where they brought offerings. It was the place where sacrifice was given and blood was shed. But here and in Christ, He built our temple. Look what it says here in verse 22. And God had put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Now watch this, which is His body. The fullness. The church is the body, the fullness of Him who fills everything. The church, the body, His church is the fullness of Him who fills all things. Now look down here in verse 20 of chapter 2, Ephesians 2. You know, it says here, and are built. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation's already been laid. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now watch this. In Christ, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth together unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together, watch this now, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God dwells in His people, dwells in His church, and He does it by the Spirit. It's not a physical building. It's a spiritual building. And our Lord said, upon this rock I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so He built the temple. He's the one that's going to build the temple. He's building the temple. He's built the spiritual temple. And He says, you know, as Eve came from the side of Adam, the church came from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through His death. And it says in Acts 20:28, He says, you know, He purchased the church of God. What? With what? His own blood. And then look what it says here about Him. Not only will He grow up out of His place, and He shall build the temple of the Lord, and He shall bear the glory. He'll bear the glory of the temple. And you know, this is strange language, to bear the glory. To bear the glory. Like it's a, like there's some weight to it. And if I understand this right, what it means this is this, that our Lord Jesus Christ had to bear the weight of bringing all the glory to God, the responsibility of bringing all the glory to God, in saving His people, in building His temple, in creating the world, upholding the world, and doing everything that's been done in this world and is doing in this world. He has the responsibility to bring all the glory to His Father. So God laid on Him all the way. And that's why our Lord said, I've glorified You on the earth. I've finished the work that You gave me to do. I've glorified You. Now glorify Thou me with the glory that I had with You before the world was. The glory of the temple will be all of Himself. He has the way to the glory of salvation. Now salvation, beloved, salvation is something that's completely done outside of ourselves. It's objective. It's something that was done 2,000 years ago. It was something that was accomplished. And that's what the gospel is, something that's done. Something complete. Something perfect. Something full. Something free. And there's nothing for you to do. God, Christ did it all. He bore the glory of it all. You know, when you start talking about grace and start talking about Christ, and people say, yeah, salvation's all of Christ, but ain't no buts, are they?
No.
Ain't no buts. Either Christ does all the saving and gets all the glory, or you have a part in it and you get some of the glory. And God said He will not share His glory with another. And I am so thankful that salvation has no part in it, that I have no part in it whatsoever. I can't even take care of material things, much less spiritual things. Huh? And oh, He bore the responsibility of Redeemer. There's a debt that had to be paid. There's a debt that we owe. There was a Justice held us captive. Truth wouldn't let us go. The law of God must be honored and magnified. And we were held captive by the justice of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ came and paid justice its due. Paid justice its payment. And He done it with His own blood, with His own death. The soul that sinneth this shall die. Justice demands that. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. So we didn't do that. Cursed under the curse. Christ came and bore the curse to redeem us.
Yeah.
He faced justice and paid His full debt. And now, beloved, the debt's been paid. And now, since Christ paid it, God cannot come and ask us to pay any part of it. I don't owe God a thing. People say, I owe the Lord this. No, we don't owe God nothing. You don't find in the Scripture where anybody said they owe God anything. They say they're debtors to the Greek, debtors to the bond, debtors to the free, the barbarian. We're debtors to tell men the gospel.
Yeah.
But everything we got from God came free.
Really?
If you paid for it or you worked for it, then you owe Him something. Now we love Him and we bless Him and we praise Him and we thank Him and we worship Him and we adore Him and we honor Him. But everything we got free. Oh my, let me show you this now. You keep Zechariah and look over here in Isaiah 22. Just a moment. Here it is. This is a wonderful verse of Scripture over here. Isaiah 22. You know, that's why I said, open up, O ye gates, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, strong and mighty in battle. And he won. Now it's time to go. And the glory takes the glory with him. Here in Isaiah 22 and verse 23, look what it says. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Now watch this. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. Listen to this. The offspring and then the issue from that offspring. And then all the vessels, small quantities. You fellas, you know, those of us that's got little bitty vessels. Those, you know, different sized vessels. Even to all the vessels of the flagon. God said He'll hang up on him all the glory. That's why He says Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. You know, He's the one that's crowned. And not only He's going to bear the glory of salvation, the glory of as a Redeemer, but the glory as a mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man. You don't go to somebody who wears his collar backwards or a big long robe. I called Mary in this morning. I said, you got to come see this. So I was flipping through the channels and come across this place, a great big huge auditorium. And right in the stage, you had this great big wooden cross. Choir singing, oh, they're singing, oh my goodness, they're singing for us. Oh, just incredible how they were singing. And all they had all these people playing all these instruments, and there's a bunch of people bowed down in front of that cross, laying prostrate in front of that cross. Like there was some virtue in laying down in front of a wooden cross. That was going to have some kind of effect on your spirituality, your relationship. And you know, they talk about we have a priest. There's only one high priest. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. They talk about, they had it on the news, and I saw this morning. A Greek Orthodox church put that this little bone that belonged to St. Andrew, one of the apostles, a little bitty bone. They kept it up on the altar with a picture of him. Well, somebody stole that out of that Greek Orthodox church. And they just tore all to pieces because they lost that little icon, that little record. And they reverenced that and they prayed to that and they prayed for intercession to St. Andrew for that. But Christ bears the glory as the only mediator between God and man.
Amen.
If you're going to speak to God, you're going to speak through Jesus Christ. God's going to speak to you, He's going to speak through Jesus Christ. If you come to God, you're going to come through Jesus Christ. God comes to you, He's going to come to you through Jesus Christ. He ain't coming no other way. And I tell you, God will, as old Scott said so many times, God will not speak to nor be spoken to by any member of the human race apart from a perfect sacrifice, and that perfect sacrifice sits at God's right hand as the only mediator.
Amen.
You know, a mediator is not a mediator of one. God don't need a mediator. We're the one needs a mediator. God's one. He's perfect. He's holy. He's right. He's just. He's true. We're the ones that need somebody to mediate between us and God. And so God provided a mediator for us. We need someone we go to and say, "Oh, Father, oh, my Master, please, Lord Jesus." And He bears our name. He bears our responsibility. And then, oh, look what it says here again in Zechariah. Not only will He bear the glory. See, He's the one crowned. Look what it says now. Not only will He bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon His throne. He's got a throne. Oh, you see, there's two offices of our Lord Jesus Christ here. The rule upon His throne, He shall be a priest upon His throne. Here we see Him as the King, and here we see Him as our High Priest. And as both, He has a throne. He shall sit and rule upon His throne. He's not going to try to rule. He's not going to attempt to rule. He's not going to wait for somebody to let Him rule. There's no debate over whether He's going to rule or He's going to be Lord. He shall rule upon His throne. Huh? And He'll have His throne. After He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And oh, beloved, He asked God gave Him all authority and all power. And He rules. The government shall be upon Him. And it don't say shoulders. It says shoulders. Shoulder. Just one shoulder is all it takes for Him to bear the governments of this world. That's all it takes. Just one. Oh, He's got the power. He's got the authority. And this idea, you know, that Jesus wants to and can't, listen. If we, you know, when we see everything going on in this world, it don't look like nobody's in control. But all believers know exactly who's ruling this out here.
Amen.
We know exactly what's going to happen in the election. We know exactly how things are going to come out. We pray that they come out this way and that way and other way, but we say, "Lord, not our will, but yours be done." Because He's the one that rules. He's got the authority. He's got the power. And then it says here, "He shall be a priest upon His throne." So He's a priest and a king. God said, "Thou shalt be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, Melchizedek was a priest and a king. He was the king of Salem, which is the king of peace, king of Jerusalem, the king of righteousness. And I'll tell you something about priests. Priests never sat down because their works never got done. Oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice forever, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. His priest sits on His throne. No other priest had a throne, but our priest has a throne. And all see a king, he provides for all the needs of his subjects. He provides their clothes, he provides their protection, he provides their food, he provides their work, he provides everything they need, a king does. And the priest provides for everything they need spiritually. The priest offered a sacrifice. The priest presents it to God. The priest makes us acceptable to God. And all beloved, and that's what it said, he has two crowns here. Two crowns. In fact, he has many crowns. He is crowned king. He's crowned high priest to bow our knees before the Father. And then let me close with this right here. Last part of that 13th verse, and says, in the council of peace, the council of peace shall be between them both. Now, I think this means it could be between the council of peace be between the Father and the Son in the covenant of grace, the covenant of peace. But I think the council of peace here is between the king and the priest. That they is the one, that the king and the priest here, our Lord Jesus Christ, this branch of Jehovah, that council of peace was between them. And what happened was, as a king, our Savior came and subdued us. He came and brought us guilty before Himself. With His power, in the day of His power, He made us willing. He subdued us, made us feel our guilt, made us feel the burden of our sin, made us feel our shame, made us feel the weight and guilt and conviction of our sin. And then as the priest, as a priest, who made atonement by His own blood and by His own sacrifice, He comes and applies that blood to our conscience and brings peace to our heart because He made peace by the blood of His cross. Then He takes the blood of that cross and applies it to our hearts, and then peace. But counsel of peace was between them. You know, people say, make your peace with God. Christ already did it.
Amen.
Christ already did it. We know peace, and we have peace, and we have rest in our hearts. And as the old hymn writer says, bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Huh? Crown Him Lord of all. Our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for letting us meet today. Thank You for the gospel. Thank You for Your word. Bless this word to our heart, to our understanding, to the enjoyment of our souls. Father, we pray for those who've never yet embraced Christ, never yet submitted to Him, never yet confessed that He's all they need and all they want. Father, enable them to do so. Enable them to, by Your grace, to come to Him, to embrace Him, to come to know Him, to rejoice in Him, find the rest and peace that comes in knowing Him. Thank You for Your mercies today. Bless these dear saints. We thank You in Christ's name. Amen.